to demonstrate, and you can do this with yourself. You don't have to have someone there. I wonder what that meant. I wonder why I have broken out in this big wet tear, for instance. Ask it what it's doing there. You might be surprised what the brain tells you next. What are you doing there? Well, you nitwit, you had to eat that strawberry and it made me come up here, or whatever. Your mind knows, people. Your mind knows. You know the past, you know the present, and you know the future. And the future is simply a different type of repeat of the past. And as we move along, you're going to have to understand that it's memories that are going to get you there. And you're going to have to accept the fact that very frequently you would get to a certain point, and the reason it has never ended properly before is because you made a different choice. And when mankind says, what do you mean by free will choice? That's what I'm talking about. We come now to the next phase. Guess what we've got to deal with? Maybe we won't play anymore. We'll just sit down and talk about it. What do we have to deal with? When you end a phase and you start a new one, it usually means a different set of circumstances. And if you had to face tomorrow with all of everything unknown, what would you choose to do? What choices would you make? Let us say I am now working with what do they call this? Interception or intervention or something, television, interactive, I guess. This movie has four endings that you can choose. Now, you're to this point in this movie, and now for the next segment, the girl can get killed, the girl can go off with the hero, the girl can reject the hero and go off with, you know, with the horse. All sorts of things. And so you're a little bored with this old ending or whatever. Now you're up against, what are you going to do? You can have apocalypse, which is different from Armageddon. But you can have Armageddon. You can have poverty, horror, misery, and strife, famine, and all of these other terrible things. You can demand and create and grow. You can create a better world, and it can grow. Or you can just drift on through it. Now let's bring it down a little closer to home. First of all, we have to decide whether or not there is a Commander Hatton. Well, Dorma thinks there's something. Almost everyone who knows her will say there must be something. Because this is not your personality. Well, is it or isn't it? Everyone has different aspects to their own personality. Is she a total split off? Is she a mind disorder? Well, let's look at it. What is her typical experience versus what she does, what she is? What would you expect? Well, all right, she can be pretty bright, but would she choose to write? Would she choose to go study history? Nora might, not Dorma. So you have to look at your own individual selves, appreciate all of those aspects of self, appreciate the higher mind, but also accept the fact that if you call on God, then you are expecting God to respond in some way. And since there historically is history of angels and visitors, and since you know that God created everything, that makes everything a creation of God and therefore an illusion at some point, it has to be a thought of God's mind. Then you move into the fact that, well, they'd be around if. They'd show up if. Always, if they're real. Or would they? If your father loved you and he knew that you would be arrested, incarcerated, tortured, and tossed out on the street or in a dungeon, do you really think he would come near you? So it requires information. You have to have information. And it makes it very simple when you have the one little fact of law passed by Congress that says if you touch an alien, you will immediately be put under arrest and quarantined. Makes it different, doesn't it? You would expect the higher being to at least be knowledgeable enough. But what does that do to your if you? So, assuming we've gotten this far and you're still here and it seems like we have an agreeable working relationship and maybe it's somebody else. See, we don't have to make that final decision even yet as to whether or not, but you can go within and know you wouldn't be wasting your time here. You might be wasting it somewhere else, but certainly where it's more flamboyant and a little bit more comfortable. Or would you? Maybe you're a sadist, you know, or a masochist. No, there's something that pulls you. There's something that guides you. All right. So we have been willing to go along in our little world, our little mental illusion, on somebody else's script, while you began to build. All right, what are we going to do now? We are faced with some major decisions. We either create our way, or we begin to back off and begin to undo what we built to here. That doesn't sound too great to most people. But it may be a necessity, so what do we do? Oh, well, I guess we do whatever we have to do. What are you willing to do? What do you want to do? This is what God means by choices and free will. If you come along and somebody crosses you, well, you can say, well, I don't want to be around them anymore, and I will go and make my life somewhere else. Goodbye. It has been nice that you were here, or it was not nice that you were here, or whatever. We wish you well in whatever you do, but please leave us alone. Whatever your feelings are, those are your choices. What house you live in? What? You say, well, I have to live here because I can't live somewhere else. Well, why can't you live somewhere else? Because I don't have enough money to go and live somewhere else and have a maid to keep up what I don't have time to keep up. Would you have that if you had not come here? Always balance where you are against where you were. Would you have had that had you not come here? That you say you don't have now. What were you and what were you doing before you came here? And why did you stop what you were doing to come here? Was it because God promised you $1 zillion? That caused you to make a move? When I was telling you, don't come unless you can take care of yourself. And it might be hard work. Well, you see, we're up against abundance. Oh, you've said that before. Now I'm saying it again. You've never not been up against it. You just didn't believe it. And I always have to look around and say, well, I guess if Joe believes it, that's enough. I'll sort of ride along on, well, E.J. seems to believe it. Well, E.J.'s the last one to believe it. Well, Rick believes it. Brent believes it. Well, Dorma must believe it. Dorma isn't capable of believing anything right this minute. And she knows. And if there's any hesitancy on her part, it's not to do exactly what Valerie wouldn't do, is step off there. Because it's a different ball game. And that's what we're getting ready for, the new ball game. And those are the free will choices I'm talking about. We are capable maybe of living in a not have it world because we never expected it world. Are we strong enough, creative enough to both create it and live it? Will abundance, what is the old saying in the movies? Will success ruin Rock Hunter or something? Will it? And how much is it? Will we ever know how much it is? How much can you spend? There's only so many dresses you can wear at a time, so many cars that you can drive at a time. If it changes your lifestyle, is it worth it? If you only can focus on that aspect of it, then it ain't worth it, I'll tell you. Will it just solve the problems? Oh, a lot of you. Oh, man. I'll tell you, I could make a lot of choices if I just saw this one. Really? Well, we're to some choices. The biggest one being, where do you want to go to end this play? Because after a while, I can tell you, if we step over this threshold, it's all the way. There's no turning back. You see, I could say that to her 7 years ago. And some, I can say it right up to this afternoon. And they can choose to step aside or wait a little longer or whatever. But some make that step across that threshold, one way or another, into this other play. Once you've switched that button from this ending over into this one. Well, but I'm not sure of this one over here. Oh, yes, you are. The prophets, remember the prophets told you how this one ends. And you've been playing in that one. They told you that all these four men of the apocalypse are coming. So you know about this one. How many of you are willing to walk with me and create a new end? Well, I think I am, I think I am, I think I am, I think I am, I think I am. But if I change my mind, what is your alternative if you change your mind? Where do you go? Do you switch your button back to apocalypse? Do you switch it back because, oh, well, now I can have that castle. Golly gee whiz, maybe I can, if I choose this one, I can have the castle. And after that, I don't need to worry anymore anyway, because if I can create a castle, I can create enough for somebody to tend my castle. But you've got to create more than that if you just want a castle. And how long do you think, with apocalypse coming and a world in Cali, how long do you think you're going to get to keep your castle? Oh, shit, you just ruined another good thing. Here comes the right. Here comes the IRS. Here comes the FBI. Here comes the BATF, and here comes the Federal Reserve. I mean, actually, in reverse order. because all the rest work for the Federal Reserve, including you. So just having doesn't mean anything. It's having in security, having in capability of use. What good is it if you're going to get 10 billion $1 bills? If tomorrow a Federal Reserve dollar bill isn't even worth burning in the fireplace. Well, you might, a billion, let me tell you, a billion of them will keep you warm for a while. But if you don't have anything to cook over that fire, or anything to wear, that's not going to do it. So some of us up in the game plan room, you know, we have to look forward to the things that you can't see and not put the pieces, even the puzzle pieces, over here within reach until we feel that you can put the puzzle piece into maybe a proper position. Doesn't always have to be the perfect one, but you're not going to be able to put a square edge into a round little hole piece. Not going to fit. But you may push it in there for a little while, and if it has a slight curve to it, it may, you know, you may be able to wiggle it a little bit. And for a little bit, you can get by with leaving it there until something else happens and you see that it doesn't fit. But you can know that God has given you the perfect tapestry. But in each of the plays, you have the different roles, the different characters, the different goal, the different last act, the different closing circuits, the curtain that comes. And all of it has to be fitted together. And so far, we've had to fit the pieces together to get to here. And now we have to make our choices about how we handle it from here on. And you can't do it, and I can't expect you to, unless we're willing to learn a few of these mind tools that allow us to make that choice, that decision. In many ways, Wally is quite far ahead because he's had Marashi to work with. All of you are up with the fact that any of you can take a meditation tape and get relaxed. And then you do and move with what feels like it fits. It won't always, even this day, be right, perhaps, but it will not be so far wrong that it can't be grown and nurtured. And you owe it to the young people. You owe it to the babes. There is a world of hurt out there, a world of murder. You murder your babes in the womb. That hardens humanity. You bring shame upon humanity. All the voting in, all the political opinions, nothing matters. Nothing matters about it. If your irresponsible behavior caused you to kill, then you are going to get sensitized to that killing. And you're going to call it choice and women's rights. You're going to call it whatever you want. But you will not honor what's right and what's wrong, because shame, guilt, misery, I would certainly rather think if I did something like that, that I did it innocently. Well, think about it this way. If you did it, you did it, innocently or not. It's done. Get rid of it. Don't harden yourself and spoil the rest of an existence. And don't do something silly. Well, I blew that one, I will get this one. Forget it. That's not the same one. Don't live in either your guilt, your misery, or your memories. You cannot live in your memories. or you'll be right at the door of that castle where that little Miss X is. That is a memory. No matter what you call it, no matter who it is or what it is a memory. How do I know? Because she told it to us 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. So it's a memory. She may be even thinking about it right now, but it's still what she said up here is a memory. What I just said is a memory. And you can forget it or you can recall it. But it's already a memory. And we have what is called an anticipated future. I didn't come to this place to live in memories. But we have to awaken the memories. Because that's all you have upon which to base an anticipated future. So each of you has to pull from the talent you have without walking over your neighbor thinking, oh, well, I was maybe an artist in that last life, but I'm going to be I'll be a chef in this one. Well, that's okay if you like to cook. But if you had a chef in the last one and a chef in this one, and you go and announce to him, I'm going to take your job, sir, if you don't mind. He's going to mind. And you don't need everybody who comes to be the chef, do you? Who's going to grow? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Someone has to oversee it. And of all the things in your world that has to demand integrity, and honor and responsibility, it's handling the funds that are allotted to God's purpose. And maybe Rod Ince wanted the job, maybe George Green wanted the job, but I want to tell you, God would come out the short end. So we have to take our responsibilities where they appear. And I know as you look around, it looks pretty skinny. And I know that the laughter comes, well, we'll figure something to do, you know. And yes, you will. But aren't you glad you did what you've done up to now? Because it lessens the problem of the moment. Don't get concerned about it. I think we're just going to wrap it up. And then we'll need to decide whether we want to do more of these in the evening or pick it up as a discussion on Sunday. There's going to be more and more and more to be shared as we move along and we peel off some of these incredible lawsuits. When you can't even open your mouth to share with your neighbor, we are limited. And I consider those blessings. I don't consider my enemy an enemy. I consider my enemy a teacher. And I respect my teachers. And we learn discretion and discernment and responsibility. But you're in the next phase now. And you're going to need a way to get in touch. You're going to need a way to relax. You're going to need a way to counter the pulses that they have intensified. And the way you do that is to get with God. And you see, it's a little bit difficult. And Rick would be able to explain this maybe even better than I can do, because Dorma's not in the picture right now. But you see, when you are starting to talk about things, and all of you are beyond it in this room except for the interest of it, you can talk about these spiraling chakras all you want to, and these centers along your soul level, your energy, your astral being. And you can begin to picture and visualize And a good way to begin to check your visualization is to check your colors, because everything is harmony, everything is tone. Because everything has a frequency and everything has light. So as Ormond McGill would say, let us begin to visualize. Let us begin with red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. Let's talk about that a minute. What really is the crown chakra?
Color, white.
White. It is light. So when we start, we have to almost go back to the masters of the Far East to begin to break down the Kundalini and the chakras and the colors and the harmonics and the Om and the I Am and all of these things. They have meaning. Almost to the point that ones don't want to hear about it because that's mythical or that's whatever. No, if that helps you achieve balance, use it. It happens that Om has all of the frequencies, all of the sounds of God. And it can be I Am or Om, whatever you choose, does literally bring balance. And you don't have to do more than think it. Those of you who think holding hands and doing all of these other things are kind of pretentious and are played by the sillies, because they are, and they're abused and they're misused, and now let us all hold hands and do a war dance around this fire pit or whatever we're going to do, it has been turned into something silly and frivolous, and I resent it. But you can take these same tones, and when you can hear them inside yourself, you've arrived. So why not us do something that allows you to hear them inside yourself? And then you can keep that privacy if that is what you need. You don't have to share the privacy of that particular intimate feeling with anyone. Because that is the intimacy of you and God. And there is no greater intimacy. And if you don't have that intimacy, you have nothing. You ain't going nowhere. That is your connection. And I'm not going to keep you longer. But I would ask Rick, yes.
Ed Young wanted me to ask a couple questions. And the questions were about the six condors that have arrived around the grandfather's mountain. And he was wondering whether that had anything to do with any timing or significance in timing at this time. What do you have to comment?
I can comment on it, but no, it doesn't really have a lot of anything to do with timing or otherwise. You will find that every one of those condors have a number on them. They are released. And this area once had those magnificent, magnificent vultures. They are vultures. They are scavengers. They are earth cleansers. And some of the ones that you are thinking, they will get very high, and you ones will see them, and you know they're too big. And yet you can't see them well enough to recognize them for what they are. You do have condors out here now. They have been put out here. So check to see. But that is a matter of timing in hopes of bringing back a flock. The fact that there are condors at all in Tehachapi area will mean something to the natives, yes. It doesn't mean very much in the overall scheme of, because they did not migrate back here. But it doesn't matter to the natives. They know, they knew. When the condors have returned. and they'll watch them. And if they flourish, then it means the same thing. It will be. This is the year of the second migration. And year 2000 is the last. And to explain that is not my, that is not my privilege.
Also, the second question that he had was about the 7.9 earthquake just a few days ago on the Aleutian Islands, whether he wanted to comment on that or not. There's also been 40 smaller quakes since that event happened. And he said that he's hearing an 8.4, actually, but they were reporting a 7.6 or 7.9 in the Aleutian.
And the 7 point in the Philippines yesterday.
That's more important. There's your balance. There's your reflection. It's extremely important, but I don't have any more to say about it or comment it than he already has or that you have. Everything is getting keyed up, and they have really, really intensified the pulse system. You can all expect, until you can adjust to that, some major, major disruptions in your what you will consider your health. And it's going to show up this time and continually in your, what I'm going to say is your nervous system, but as it affects your smooth muscle. And this will throw all of the ladies off their cycles. There will be a tendency to, you better watch it. I hope not affect you gentlemen wrong, but some of you ladies will start bleeding if you still have ovarian function, even if you are past menopause. Don't worry about it. Just pay attention. And you younger women, watch it or you will get anemic. It's going to disrupt all of your cycles. And that's the purpose of it. And if you think PMS is bad once a month, you gentlemen wait until it's every day.
Wow.
You'll be. We won't tell if you don't.
Is there a way of counteracting this?
Yes. Get yourself a good meditation tape. Get relaxed and take control of it. That's the way. Take control of it. Make sure you get all of your minerals. Do you hear me? All of them. And I will repeat the joke. It was found, and listen to me carefully, and Wally, Lowell, listen to me even more carefully. The best and most important minerals for anybody with diabetes and PMS, I don't mean to put them in the same category. Vanadium. Get yourself some chromium. And get yourself some vanadium. And you may very well find that you reverse the diabetes and there isn't any reason to put up with PMS. Now,
you saying that to women or to men?
I'm telling you this because I want to make my joke. Don't you remember? The joke is that after this became publicized, and it did, this became known, that these particular minerals, if you have the whole spectrum of minerals and you have extra of this, that it stops PMS. And it was a little bit like spirulina. When they said it was good for weight reduction, you could not get it in the health food stores. So the day that it broke, the news broke in the paper about PMS, there were lines outside every health food store, blocks long. And they were all men. So on that note, we better... I think maybe we should have a meeting on Sunday. We can decide what we want to do with the rest of this game we're having here. I've gotten said what I need to get said. All the rest is play or lessons or whatever we decide to do about it. But you're in the next phase. and I want you ready to win. I don't want any more losing. I don't want any more attitude of losing. I don't want any more lawyers telling us we have to do this and this and this to appease that evil opposition. We take control of our way. And when we take control and responsibility for our way, God has promised us and He will deliver. So let us make our own decisions about what we do from here on. But maybe we better have a meeting on Sunday. We didn't last week. And then we can decide about these other things.
Commander?
Yes.
I know everyone's kind of anxious to go. Shall we play Orman's Violet Flame?
Does everybody have a few minutes? It's beautiful, and I think you'll want a copy, and he would be happy for it to be just shared. It will be the Violet Flame basic music from the I Am group. You will find that this was an extremely good interchange with Orman McGill, who had no idea what hit him when Jermaine showed up and said, I want you to make this meditation tape, this relaxation tape. Well, first of all, with Jermaine, your instinct is to say, who the hell are you? And why are you here bossing me around? And so Orman will be the first to say, and did, I don't know what compelled me to make this tape. Well, I can tell him, but let's keep it a secret from him. So if you have time to relax with this tape, let's make sure everyone gets a copy. It's wonderful. This is the master hypnotist to the Violet Flame music of the I Am group, Jermaine. We'll talk about that Violet Flame one of these days. It is the consuming. It's the epitome. This is why in my clearing tape that I offered to Dharma,
the tape of the Violet Flame.
I'll just quiet.
Use it and preserve its secrets well. Prepare yourself for a fantastic experience as you use hypnomeditation to cause the violet flame to flood your being. The violet flame is one of the most cherished secrets of esoteric lore used by the great white brotherhood in Tibet. The violet flame has the power to transmute thought into materialized reality. That is why the violet flame is given only to members who prove worthy of its use. It is a source of personal power to be used by the pure in heart. First, do this. Listen, listen, listen to the frequency of sound and let it vibrate through your body. However you are, radiant one, sitting in a chair or lying on a bed, whatever, it makes no difference. Just relax and close your eyes. Now, take a deep breath. Hold it for a few moments, then exhale slowly. Relax. Do it again. Inhale. Hold. Exhale slowly. Relax. And for a third time. Inhale deeply. Hold. And exhale. It fills you with basic energy used when you activate the violet flame. Now experience your body as though you were dead. However you are, just be as you are and do not try to change it. Do not move. Do not even move your eyes. Do not do anything. Just be as you are. Let it be exactly as if you were dead. you can no longer affect the body. Experience your mind also in the same manner. If you are filled with wrath, stay so. If you are filled with love, stay so. If you feel anxiety or fear, stay so. If you are happy and peaceful, stay so. You are dead, and you cannot do anything. Just be as you are. Now, in this state, direct your attention to the space between your eyebrows. This is the location of the third eye, called the Eye of Shiva in India. It is one of the great secrets of directing power over creation. In most persons, the third eye is closed, but it becomes functional when attention is directed to it. Giving attention to the third eye, you will find easy, as when attention is directed to it, it draws attention to itself like a magnet draws bits of iron. In this process, focus your attention in the middle of your forehead with closed eyes, as if you were looking with your two eyes. Suddenly, you'll feel